This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media.
Oh, my God. You know what feels good is that Mack Weldon right against the skin. It is the best thing you're going to wear. Better than whatever you're wearing right now, I'll tell you that. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. You go on that website, easy peasy Japanesey. Very simple and self-explanatory. Mack Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, and hoodies, sweatpants you'll ever wear. And all their products are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. They kill odor. So get them now, folks. And if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it and they'll refund you. No questions asked. How about that?
I wore Mack Weldon underwear at my wedding. That's the biggest recommendation I can give.
Look at that. He was cutting a rug, folks. So it's movable.
Biggest day of my life. I went to MackWeldon.com. I got 20% off using promo code Tuesdays. And I wore Mack Weldon underwear, and I got the photos to prove it because I took my pants off.
That's true.
And they're not cheap underwear, but you feel it when you put them on. They're great. They're comfy, and I wear them for a couple days.
Right.
And they're great. They are antimicrobial. They don't stink, and you can get 20% off using promo code Tuesdays. Use it, baby.
Oh yeah.
Because they're great. They really are great. I wore them at my wedding, biggest day of my life. I had Mack Weldon's on. MackWeldon.com. 20% off using promo code Tuesdays. Hey, Mark, fake banter for the intro.
That's all I know how to do.
Great.
Good to be here.
Welcome to Tuesdays with...
Stories.
Hit her in the face with a surfboard.
And then the duck fell out of his bag.
Surf's up. And she didn't even flush.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Mark Norman and Joe List.
Yeah! This is Tuesdays with Stories, everybody.
Yeah, that's terrible.
This is supposed to be cheesy. My radio is spitting at me. All right. Hey! Nani, nani. Good to be here, everybody. We're back. Feels like it's been a while, but we packed a lot in. We got a lot to talk about. Tuesdays with Stories. Mark Norman here.
I'm Joe List, and it's a whole new world.
Oh, yeah. You got a little jizz in the throat, huh?
Oh, I got all kinds of jizz. I've been crying and smoking and singing and yelling and not sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, you've had a wild week.
Wild week.
Do you feel, I mean, they always say that, do you feel different? You're a man now. You're a grown-up. You've made a commitment to legal bonding.
I feel a little different, a little diff. You know?
Right.
There was a lot of stuff, a lot of emotion, a lot of feeling, a lot of love, and you put it all in perspective, and it piles up and falls down, and you swim in it, and it's, I don't know where my head's at. I'm different. I'm not funny anymore, I can tell you that.
I've noticed.
It's been a tough couple days.
And you with jewelry on is quite an eyesore.
It's real weird. I got a real ring on there.
It's jarring.
That's my ring, folks.
Look at that.
It's very odd. And
who's there?
By the way, that soap and water rumor, it really works.
What's that now?
To get a ring off. You know, when the ring gets stuck? Because I freak out. I don't want it stuck on my hand.
Yeah.
Just the mentally. I don't like a thing stuck. You can't get it off. It's like a childhood. Remember that episode of Full House where the kid gets his head stuck between the
banister.
The banister. They had to put butter all over him.
Yes.
I think that was Full House. Was that Saved by the Bell?
I think every sitcom had that scene at one point.
You might be right. I remember watching that on MASH.
There you go. South Korea. A lot of banisters.
I think we have to stop the race stuff.
What?
Well, the Charlottesville, the Nazis.
I think that'll be over by the time this comes out.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I got hit by a car.
I think it's been going on for quite some time. But boy, these people, some guy wrote, he's like, hey, these alt-right guys have the same talking points as you. And I was like, oh Jesus Christ.
Come on, they talk about jizz in the throat?
Yeah, there's no jizz.
No queefing either.
They're not talking about marriage.
I haven't heard one lunch comment.
I got to be honest, I tuned out this week. That was the best part of my wedding week. I didn't check Twitter or Facebook. The Barcelona thing, I skipped that one. I'll get the next terrorist attack.
Yeah, I skipped that one too, actually.
I feel bad. I mean, I love Barcelona, the 92 Olympics. And
It was a runover, right?
That's the big thing, the runover these days. It's all the rage.
It's easier to get a car than a bomb.
You got that right. And
there's no
people
bomb.
Just walking around. We're not going to not walk around.
Right. And there's no bomb rental. There's no Hertz. Well, I guess it is Hertz.
It hurts. If you don't die, it hurts.
Right, right.
If you die, it doesn't hurt, I don't think.
You ever been hit by a car?
Not really, no.
I got hit once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got clipped with the side view mirror.
Oh.
Yeah, it got me right on the wrist and hip.
Wrist and hip.
Yeah.
That was close.
Good morning, group. Wrist and hip in the morning. But yeah, yeah. Yeah, sorry, Barcy, and you'll recover. It's a beautiful city over there, country.
I think it's a city still.
Okay, good.
They should give it country status after the terrorist attack.
All right. I'll take it.
Say, hey, you lost some people. You're a country now.
Yes. Is that where they run with the bulls?
No, I believe that's...
Poblano or one
I got it right here. It's...
Naples?
No, that's Florida.
Yeah.
They run with the ostriches down there. Not ostriches. Flamingos.
Aha. Uh-huh. You know why they're pink?
No, I don't.
Gay. No, they eat shrimp. It's the diet. Only eat shrimp and they turn pink.
That can't be real.
Look it up. Give it a goog, shellfish.
Well, why aren't I the same tone as a hot dog?
Well,
wow.
You eat more than hot dogs. You mix it up. You got a tea, you got a pizza, you got a bagel, you got a cookie.
I was doing a bit that I am the same color as a hot dog.
Oh, okay.
I'm hot doggy.
You're a boiled wiener.
I am a boiled wiener.
What do you got, Shell?
Born gray.
Aha!
Born gray.
All right.
That's interesting because you're looking up shellfish.
Yes.
And sometimes Mark calls you shellfish.
That is true.
Isn't a shrimp a shellfish?
It is. That's why the Jews don't touch it.
It was a big Jew wedding next to our wedding. But we'll get into the wedding later.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Ari and Viter jokes coming at him.
Yeah. Ari got the most because he's the Jewiest.
I mean, I brought my lady to the wedding and she can't get over his face. She's like, his face is, it's an enigma.
It's wild.
It's so stunning and weird and all over the place. The nose, the head.
It's very long and it's deep. Like it goes back.
Yes.
It's rigid.
It is. It's a jagged face.
It's hooky. It's long. It's very wacky.
She can't stop staring. She's like, it's like a museum piece.
it's a piece, all right.
Yeah.
But I was going to say something about it. Oh, we went in his room right before the ceremony. We were kind of hiding out in his room. And it's the Jewiest room I've ever seen. There's a neti pot.
Really?
There's like antacid. There's Tylenol. There's a bunch of weed, of course, but it's like all these like little drug paraphernalia. He has this whole thing of like, I'm this free spirit. And then you go in his bedroom, it's like nose clippers, Tampax,
right.
Fucking Dramamine.
Yeah. Like, oh, geez, you're a big Dr. Scholl's
fruit. I think he's pretending he's on mushrooms, but he's actually taking, you know, Xanax or whatever.
You got to remember the guy is 49. You know, we forget that sometimes. You know, he's got a Bonnaroo t-shirt on and a fanny pack, but he's 68.
Well, between you and me, there was an unidentified girl at the wedding that came up and was like, hey, what's the story with him? I'm kind of into him.
Yeah.
She likes Middle Eastern, you know.
Swarthy.
Man, yes, swarthy. He was dressed nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then evidently she had a chat with him and came back and said, hey, never mind. I can't talk to a guy that's over 30 talking about Burning Man. He cock blocked himself.
Oh,
he's like, I'm going to Burning Man. And they're like, how old are you? He's like, fucking 51.
Yeah,
like, get out of here, get real.
I want a high five her on that one.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good Burning Man.
Yeah, not a bad burn. And you know, I wonder if he's bringing his neti pot to Burning Man.
Yeah, I wonder. I bet he is. Because I rode back with him, and he had his giant, that one of those, like, hike sacks, you know, with, like, the metal gear on it and, like, shit hanging and clanging and clinging like an old, a hitchhiker.
Yes.
And we took an Uber back, and I was like, what's up with this? He's like, I'm going to Burning Man. I was like, really? That's so on brand. It's almost too on brand that it's annoying.
You got any weed? He's like, well, I got a little pot. Pot. It's a neti pot.
I don't.
Pot is another word for weed.
Oh, I was looking for the neti twist.
Ah, pot.
Got it. All right. Well, yeah, we love you, R. And he had a great suit on, you know, like a velour maroon suit with a bolo tie.
Yes, it was bolo. It had said A on it for Ari.
Right. Pretty hip.
Or for a Jew.
Yes.
But again, now we're off on the Jew. We're going to be called Nazis again. We're kidding. We love the Jews.
You invited them. And you did it in Jew heaven in Westchester.
I invited several of them.
That's right.
Almost too many. My dad was like, you got to put a stop to this.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, there was a couple of Asians and a Puerto Rican. It was tough.
Also, it was a Saturday, so they can't all make it.
Yeesh.
The Sabbath.
All right. Well, we should stop with the race stuff. I'm sorry. We'll take it 2 weeks off because of the Nazis there.
All right. Well, I think we can still hit on the Asians and the Hispans.
No, because it's white supremacists. These are white supremacists.
But the Asians are better than us, so they're supremacist.
They're not coming out marching and saying it. They're just living it.
I think that's more of a sign.
Well,
they're
what
just
do you want
doing
them to
it.
Do?
Huh?
What do you want them to do? Fucking, you know.
I don't want them to do anything. I think they're doing great.
They're doing great, but that's what I'm saying. These guys are dirtbags marching around. Ah!
Yeah.
Blacks.
Right. I gotta say, I think it's good they add the Jews in. I'm not saying I want people to hate Jews. I'm just saying it's nice that it's not just white and black.
Yes. And brown and yellow. Or whatever. Not yellow, whatever color.
Well, do they hate Indians?
Native Americans, you mean?
No, I'm talking about...
Yeah, they hate Indians. They're white supremacists. They want it to be all white. They don't want any cultures here. That's their whole point.
I don't hear a lot of Indian shitting.
Well, they're not just saying black. They're just saying whites.
All right. Well, that's...
They're not saying, hey, screw you black people. They're saying, what about us white people? We're white.
Bah. Uh-huh.
They don't want all these other cultures coming in.
Right.
They don't really hate Muslims. They hate Indians. They hate Asians. They hate gays, even if they are white, I think. But maybe
yeah,
not.
That's interesting.
I haven't heard them say that, but I got to imagine they seem pretty intolerant.
Yeah, they can't like the gays. And I wonder how many of those guys are actually gay.
Oh, I would say the majority of them are closetedly gay. That's why they have so much hate.
Right, they
gotta
be.
They don't know how to say it.
I mean, just the statistics would say so.
Something's up with those guys, and I don't care for them. You know, they're real scary too. I don't like it. They got the helmets with the gloves on. And they're fighting people. Get out of here.
The militia gear, and it's just embarrassing as a fellow whitey.
I hate them.
I'm not a fan either.
I hate Illinois Nazis.
And the tiki they show the photos. They all look like Best Buy employees, and they all have polo shirts. They look like a couple of dweebs.
They stink. You're all a bunch of fucking douchebags, and you can suck my dick.
Thank you. You heard it here first, folks.
And you probably want to.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right.
Well, we got that out of the way.
Yep.
Now
we show where we stand.
Yes. Let's get back to Ari's weird face.
Yeah, that ugly Jew. all right, take that up.
Yeah.
Wait, let's do a soundbite. I'll change it. Jew.
Perfect.
Put that in there.
Bless you. All right.
Great.
But yeah, it was a hell of a ceremony and a hell of a wed and a hell of a party.
All right, I'll get into it later.
All right.
Tell me about New Orleans, because I got about 75 minutes on wedding
I'll
thing.
Knock out.
It starts Wednesday and ends a minute ago.
Well, we got to go way back here because it's been a while.
Yeah, we've recorded since the 80s.
I want to give a shout out.
Shout out.
Syracuse. We haven't talked about Syracuse.
Oh, yeah, we were in Rock.
Yes.
We did a little thing.
Uh-huh. So I did my most hated club, Syracuse Funny Bone, and I got my beef with that city. But I got to say, I do this thing. I have a mental thing where if I'm scared or dreading something, I'll make it. Build it up in my mind to make it horrible, and then when it happens, I go, oh, this isn't so bad.
Yes.
Because in my mind, I've made it this horrific thing.
Of course. It's like dental work.
Yes. So when you see the reality of it, it seems less horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I built up Syracuse is going to be a horrible weekend. I hate it. But I had my buddy Chris Allen featuring.
Black.
What?
Black.
Yes, he's a black fellow.
Thank you.
African-Americane. Negroid. I don't know what the technical term is.
I think that's a robot.
Ah, it's a black robot. So yeah. Good guy, good pal. He was featuring, and that helps. You got a buddy featuring, you can hang out, you can bullshit. Cause last time I was there alone with a couple of weird locals. And so he was there, and that was always good. And we chatted, and we had a great weekend just pushing each other joke-wise, and we'd go out to eat every day and you know, see a movie and blah, blah, blah. We really had a great time. And then Saturday, was it?
Saturday. It was the Charlottesville day.
Yes. And he's from Charlottesville. He lives there.
We were hanging out with a African-American from Charlottesville.
Yes.
On the day.
So wacky.
Quite a perspective. And his wife and kid were there.
They're there. He's like, stay in. Don't leave the house. It was very kooky. It was surreal watching it. He's watching his hometown or where he lives just being, you know, ransacked by these whiteys gay whites.
Out of town whiteys, by the way.
Oh, they went to Char.
Oh, that's not Charlottesville. There's no Nazis in Charlottesville. That'd be a bad place to live if you're a Nazi.
I guess, but it's pretty white.
It's white, but it's very liberal. It's liberal arts. Mm. There's a lot of African-American folks there, including Chris and his family.
Yeah, and it's a cute town. I've been there. I've performed there. It's cute.
Yeah, I'm there soon. I'll get you the date at the end of the thing.
All right.
But I think they all came in from the woods and shit.
Ah.
They all flew in. And I think they came in from all over.
The woodwork.
There was one of the guys was from Boston. They outed a guy online.
Oh,
a lot
yeah?
of people. Yeah, a lot of people from outside all met in one place.
Boy, how'd you like to come out as a Nazi? Your parents are like, Jesus, please be a homo.
Well, that's the only time I like public shaming.
Right.
They find out who they are. Like, this is this guy.
There you go.
Like, because they're like, oh, yeah, I'm crazy. Because you're out in public saying, yes, I'm a white power
right.
Nazi. Might as well get your name out there.
Yeah, why not?
You're saying, that's me.
Yes.
I'm that guy.
Yeah, stop calling comedians racist and homophobic. Call these guys who are claiming they're racist racist.
Well, that's the nice part is you're like, look at these guys.
Right.
Get them out in the open.
Yes.
Put them on the parades. Great.
Yeah.
Here you go. Look at these guys.
Calling me a racist is doing a disservice to these actual racists with a tiki torch.
Yeah, they're trying to burn people to death, I think. Maybe they're not. Maybe they just couldn't see or something. I don't know.
And what's the goal here? I don't, you know, they go, oh, we hate blacks and Jews. Okay, now what? Are you going to kill them all? You don't have that kind of time or manpower. So what's the difference?
I think part of the goal is they get the president. They think the president is behind them.
What?
I think he might be.
He needs those votes.
It's fucking crazy. It's a real embarrassment.
Yeah, he's there's, you know, that's the fan base. He's got to hang on to him.
It's embarrassing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to go down this road. Let's get back to
Syracuse,
because it's a shameful fucking time. It was a shameful day. It was a sad, embarrassing, shameful day.
I know.
Even though we had a great time. But then we left, and then we'll get back to the hang.
All right.
Then I watched the news, and I wanted to kill myself and leave the country.
So the best part about Syracuse, the gig, is the crowds got way better. We had a lot of Tuesdays come out, so I want to say thanks to you guys and a couple Chipotle cards. God love you. And the free breakfast at this hotel is out of this world bananas.
Wow.
It's like you wake up and you have some shining hope of happiness and you go, me and Chris would get breakfast every day. They do an omelet station, the whole thing. And then Saturday rolls around and we say, you know what? Chris has got his Prius. Let's drive up to Rochester to see the big Type 2 mouth.
Ah, mouth.
Yes. So we go over there, and you were lonely and gay, and we met up with you, and it was a nice hour and a half drive. We saw you were a ray of hope.
Yeah, well, it was great to see. It was a real game changer because I was in Rochester, which Rochester has some really beautiful parts there, which we ended up visiting. But
yeah.
I was in downtown, and downtown could use a little scrubbing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little tough on the eye and the ear and the asshole.
Yes.
And there's nowhere to go. You walk around and there's no good food,
right.
Really. And it's a tough town. I went to Dinosaur Barbecue.
That's the thing to do.
Yeah, and that was nice. What about you're by yourself.
Exactly.
It's very lonely. And it was the last hump before wedding week.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this extra thing where there's anxiety and you're like, I just want to get there. I want to get back home to get to this wedding week. I might cry on the air thinking about the whole thing.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny because I have Chris. So me and Chris are hanging the whole time. So then when we show up to see you, you had that gloomy, I'm alone out here, cloud over you.
Cloudy.
And we got to watch that cloud go away as we all started hanging.
It parted.
Yes, and you were like a little five-year-old. It was cute. You were hopping up and down and pushing us around. It was good.
Oh, it was quite a thrill.
And we went out to eat. We got some burgers, and Chris had a garbage plate.
What about right before the burgers, though?
What was that?
We had to stop and visit his sick old granny.
Oh, that was weird. Yeah.
Can we talk about that, or is he getting weird?
I mean, fuck it. We went to his childhood home in Rochester, which he claims was the hood, but that was not that hoodie.
It looked a little hoodie.
I don't know. It was a hoodie.
I saw a barrel fire and a pregnant 11-year-old on a bike.
I didn't see any of that. Sorry,
we were at different windows.
All right. So, cute little house, and we go in there, and his grandma's there, and 18 cousins, and a mom, a dad, and we're like, well, we'll stay in the car. We don't want to bother everybody.
No. You're telling it wrong.
All right,
You're telling it wrong. We're going to sound like these Illinois Nazis over here.
Well, he's riding around with a black man.
He said, Stay in the car. I know you guys are weird. You're kook. He said it. He didn't invite us in.
Aha!
I would have met mom. What are you kidding? I like to do those funky handshakes and see a mom, you
sure,
know?
Sure. Do a little cutting and jiving.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I can dance. So he pulled in there and he said, stay in here. I'll be 2 seconds. I'm sorry. I'm gay.
He wanted us to go, well, we'll come in.
Oh, is that what he wanted?
Of course.
Oh, I thought he wanted us to stay in. I thought he was embarrassed that he had some honky friends.
No, he likes having the honky friend. I think he wanted to show us off.
Likes a honky.
Oh, big honk if you're horny.
Well, we didn't honk. We sat in the car and did a satellite queef. It's available now on the Patreon
page.
That's
true. That's
true. Fun queef, too. And recording in the queef, his dad came out in the rain, which I didn't know they could do that.
Dads or blacks?
Whichever makes more sense.
All right.
So he came out in the rain and knocked on the window and said, hey, I want to give a shout out to old Mark here.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I couldn't, then you popped out of the car. And I couldn't stay in.
No, you had to pop.
So now we're all standing outside in the rain like Cusack talking to Alan's dad. Swell guy.
I held up a boombox with NWA playing.
I thought it was his granddad, by the way, because you never know what's what.
Yeah, yeah. And, so I met the dad, and we all hugged, and then he met you, and I don't know if he knew who the hell you were.
No, I was like, me too. I'm here also.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went, get out of here, you nerd.
And then Chris does his old move. This is Chris's move. He makes you feel guilty about shit. So he comes back in the car, and he's like, oh, my mom was pissed. You guys didn't come in. And
we're brutal!
Like, you told us to stay in the car!
Didn't invite us in! He's like, she's really offended. You didn't come in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you didn't invite us. Now she thinks we're racist.
Right, right, right.
And the whole thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, there is something wrong with that. Sorry, I was just doing the line. There's something wrong with that. Screw you, you Nazis.
We shouldn't have brought the torches. That was our bad.
Well, it's very mosquito-y in Rochester.
That's true.
There.
So then that was an awkward moment. Then we went and got burgers, and we went to a bar, and I had a beer, and we hung out, and then I think we left.
Yeah, it was a weird bar. We didn't realize this, but it was a tit-e bar.
Yes, it was.
It was a real barn, and we said, hey, let's stop in here. It'll be weird. We'll see some local yokels who walk in, and some Latino dame.
Oh, yeah.
Got up on the stage.
Beefy chick.
Bra, panties, boots, danced. No one moved a muscle or looked in the direction of the stage, so she never took anything off.
No, no. Which might have been for the best.
Probably. I felt bad, but you're like, I'm not just going to give, you know, look like Luis Gomez in a wig.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm not just going to give my hard-earned pesos to this dame.
Yeah. And remember, we were walking through the parking lot about to go in, and I saw a local guy smoking by the front door, and I go, hey, pretty fun in there? And he goes, you must be lost.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus, this is a rough town.
That was a rough area. But anyways, we left there, and then we had quite a race talk outside in the parking lot.
Oh, that's right.
That was something.
Yeah, we all sat in the parking lot, which is really what we should be doing the whole time. You know, we sit around and go, oh, let's eat, let's go to a bar, but let's just sit down and talk. That's what we do best.
Yeah, we really got in there and had a good conversation. It was good to hear his perspective and our perspective, and I think we got to the bottom of things.
And as Chris would say, if people could do this all over the country, I think we'd have a better country. If people could just talk openly and have opinions and listen to each other and, you know, factor everything in, we might be a little more peaceful.
A little more diplomatic. And Chris is a good guy because he's smart and funny, but, like, he enjoys the jokes and the ribbing and the thing and understands when there's sincerity and when there's jokes, which is what you're hoping for.
I know.
So you don't get people tweeting at you saying, hey, you guys should join the Nazi party. And you're like, well, I think you're not doing it right. You're not listening properly.
Yeah, you're not that smart.
No, probably not.
Or you just want to call me out so you look like a hero, whatever it is.
Also, you're listening to the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
good point.
That's weird. I don't listen to any white supremacist podcasts.
Yeah.
So, like, he thinks we're white supremacists, but he's listening?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Do they have those?
I kind of imagine they do.
Interesting.
There's one on Stand Up Labs Network.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's called Not On Our Watch.
Oh, really? I might check that out.
Yeah, starring...
How are the ratings?
Not great.
All right, they got the new Mack Weldon hood.
Hey!
All right. Microbial. So, that was fun. Then we do the gigs. Good times, good times. Thanks, Chris Allen. Check him out. I think he's got some sort of a podcast. I think he's got a podcast called Negro Please Radio, or... It's NPR something, so it's... I think that's it. Give that a Google there, Shell Time. And, he's a good egg, and I think we're working together in Albany, so that'll be fun.
We love you, Chris.
Yeah, Chris!
Thanks for listening. That was a great weekend, though. Yeah, and I really loved it. And I got to tell a quick Rochester that while we're in Rochester.
Oh, please, yeah.
How about Saturday night? I'm getting ready. I do my first set. Great show. Rochester Club is great, by the way.
Beautiful room.
Comedy at the Carlson. That's the other thing we did. We got a tour.
That's right.
Of the club, which was great. And,
that's going to be one of those big clubs. When that place really starts popping off.
It's hot. It's a hot, cool, brand new. It smells like new carpet.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
fucking beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Great room and just a lot of fun. And it got, like I said, it breathed new energy into me when you came there. And then my pal Steve Rogers came down, who I love. He came down Friday night. Great. He just spawned your show Thursday, my show Friday.
Oh, yeah. He's a good egg.
Oh, great egg. Big fan of the show, too.
Moving here.
Yes, soon. That sucks.
Good luck, fucker.
Yeah, don't call me.
Never heard of you.
But anyways, good guy, funny guy. Book him if you're listening to this. And
sure.
You need a...
clean opener.
Great guy. He's open for Regan.
I heard.
I mean, he's killing it. It's kind of a bummer because like he opened for me and like he listens to the pod and I was like, yeah, this is all it's all about. And he's like, boy, you're the greatest. And then like 2 weeks later, he's off in like a private jet with Regan. And I was like, I'm just a goof now.
I know.
I'm a loser. Anyways, so Saturday night, I do the first show. It's a little light. It's a new club, and we don't have as many Tuesdays as maybe I thought we did. Tell a friend, for God's sakes.
Well, they're spread out all over the land.
Yes, they're spread, like Native Americans.
Yes, or butter.
Who we love.
Yeah.
We are not supreme. By the way, I saw a movie called Wind River last night about Native rape. It stinks.
Oh, really?
It stunk. It's got like 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. Sarah and I hated it. We were laughing the whole time.
Rotten Tomatoes is very skewed, don't you? It's very liberally skewed, don't you
find? Well, the thing is, it's a arrogant, conglomerate, what's the word?
Corporation?
No,
monopoly?
It's the score. So people think, we've talked about this before, people think that Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 87. It just means 87% of the reviews are positive.
Right.
But a positive review is like 6 out of 10 or higher.
Yes.
So if you look at the under number, it's like average rating 6.3. But all of them are 6.3, or 87% of them. So it's 87% good reviews.
I see.
But the good review is like, that's pretty good.
Aha.
It's not bad.
But I feel like there's a lot of these guilty white reviewers going, that's pretty Native American. All right, let's give that a B minus.
Well, sometimes that happens because it's like a powerful woman and it's about a rape case.
All
so
that
they're
shit.
Like, oh, this is important.
Yes.
And you're like, well, it is, but the movie's frustrating.
It's still trash.
Also, we found the rape scene. It's just so hard to watch and it wasn't even necessary. It's like, oh, God, what are you doing?
Really?
This is horrible. Yeah, a rape scene. I mean, a rape is like the worst thing in the world. But a rape scene, I'm like, oh, you're bringing this into my world? Maybe because I just got married too and you're watching it.
And
but they're
wife.
Holding the guy down and beating him while the woman's getting fucking brutally raped. And she's like, oh.
Really?
Oh, it's horrific.
Is it like the white soldier guy raping the Indian kind of thing?
Of course.
Oh, wow.
That's a true story. I mean, that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't keep track of Native. This is weird, too. At the end of the movie, they're like, there are no records of Native American women missing or people missing. And I'm like, well, why don't they just count them now? Can't you go, all right, your kid's missing, that's one.
Uh-huh.
You go, that's two. I mean, that seems weird.
Right, one, little two, little three, little rape Indian.
Yeah, just go, all right, that's 11. We got 11 missing.
Yes.
It's fascinating. The Native American thing is, I got to read more. But
yeah, not a lot of bookkeeping back then.
Bad deal. Well, this is now. I mean, this is current day.
Well, go to the casinos, goddammit.
It's very strange. Anyways, I feel bad. But I didn't love the movie. But anyways, what the fuck am I doing? Let's get back to the business.
We got thrown off with the Native rape.
Mm-hmm.
Teepee.
For my bunghole.
Yeah.
Where are we? Where are we? I thought we were doing something. Where were you?
I thought you had a Rochester.
Oh, my God. You're right. It's on me.
Uh-huh.
My mind is mush now that I have this ring on. I think it's throwing me. I think the rust is seeping into my fingers.
You're like the opposite of Green Lantern. The ring takes power.
Yes.
Not
no
give.
Power. I stink now. I feel like I'm never going to be funny again. I cried for a whole day.
Straight. Oh, you're fine. You'll be back.
Hopefully. Anyway, so I'm in Rochester. Do the Saturday night show. Early show. Fun show. And then this guy comes up to me after and says, great stuff, man. You're great. Real deal. Real funny. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm doing the, like, whatever. And then he keeps lingering, and I look back into the eyes of the great fish.
Mammal.
Whatever. And it's Barry Crimmins.
Oh!
I didn't realize the light was low, and he has got a beard, and he was just, he came up like a fan.
Wow. Mr. Molesto.
The legend. Barry Crimmins. Yeah, I know. We just went straight from rape to Barry.
Yeah, good seg.
Barry Crimmins is a great movie called Call Me Lucky that Bobcat directed, and it's about him struggling with just brutal childhood abuse.
Yeah, good documentary.
Great movie, great guy, comedy legend.
Oh, yeah, Beantown hero.
And he was on his way to Edinburgh, but his flight got canceled, and another flight got canceled, so he's stuck in Rochester, where he used to live near there. He's from up there, moved to Boston, basically started the Boston comedy scene.
Wow.
Another great movie called When Stand-Up Stood Out.
Killer flick.
About the Boston comedy scene. It essentially is about Barry. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple movies about him.
Wow.
Yeah, just a fascinating guy. Brilliant guy. Toured with Jackson Browne.
Whoa.
Back in the 80s. He used to have this great joke. He told me a story about he had this great bit, and the guy heckled him, and it led into his bit.
Oh.
Where he's just like, he's trashing Reagan in this theater, and it's like over the side, it's like Kris Kristofferson, Jackson Browne, Bonnie Raitt, all these people are watching Barry. And some guy goes, he's shitting all over Reagan. The guy goes, well, why don't you leave? Mm-hmm. Why don't you leave America? And then like people are like, ooh. And then he goes, because I don't want to be a victim of his foreign policy. And the crowd
goes,
like explodes.
Wow.
And he's like, it was like the biggest laugh I ever got. Because that's like a joke of his.
Sure.
But the audience member set it up so it looked like it just came out of nowhere.
Perfect.
He was telling the story. I was getting goosebumps.
Wow.
And but anyways, he's friends with Jackson Browne, which is like unbelievable. Fascinating guy. Career. And so we hung out. We chatted. He was very nice and sweet. And we talked about Trump and the whole business.
Wow.
And then I was like, do you want to go up? Do you want to do a set?
Was he aware of you at all?
Yeah, he knows me. Yeah, he knows. Right. He knows about the comedy. He watches comedy.
And you both have Louis. You got a Louis link.
Yes, a little Louis link. Yeah, uh-huh. Louis directed a special. He's got a special on louisck.net.
Yes.
Or .com. I think it might be net.
I don't know if it's net. I think it might be net.
Could be net. Netty Pot.
Ah. You think he'd move up to com at this point.
He might have com. I bet he has com also.
I bet he's got both.
Probably has net and com.
He's big.
Netcom.
Netcom. Sounds like a network.
Sounds like a sitcom about Netty Pots starring Ari.
Let's start writing. We'll pitch it.
So anyways, he goes out. Like I said, you want to do a spot? And he says, yeah, I'll do a spot. And he goes up, and what a sweet guy, because he goes up and he opens by saying, I'm happy to be performing for an audience of people that are smart enough to buy a ticket to go see Joe List. He spends his first minute talking about how great I am. That's how you do a guest spot, by
the way. How about that? Look at that.
You go up, you talk about how great the headliner is, then you do your business. Then he killed. He didn't use a microphone. He's like, I'm getting ready for Edinburgh. So he just kind of shouted, and he killed. They
really?
Loved him. It was so fun, and then I went up, and I killed. Best crowd of the week was the last show of the week. That's the best feeling in the world.
That's the best. I had the exact opposite.
Yeah. We were texting about it.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Brutal, but I got some new stuff out. I'm feeling good. I got a new bit. It's my new closer. It just happened. I was talking to Chris at breakfast, and I had a line. He goes, that's big. Use that in your act. I go, I don't know. Isn't that funny? I write for hours. This is killer. Bombs, bombs, bombs. Then I have a line hanging out. And that's the new closer.
That's my whole life.
It's so weird. You can't judge it. You can't gauge it. It's all up in the ether.
Yeah, most of my biggest bits have been people being like, I think that's a bit. And you're like, what? I've been telling this story for 25 years.
Right, right. It's so frustrating. Comedy's so hard to grasp.
That's why it's good to hang out with comics, because sometimes you just say shit, or you're talking, you're chatting, and then people go, hey, I think that's something.
Yeah. I would have not known if he hadn't said that. So thank you, Chris.
Yeah, that away, Chris.
Also, another shout-out I want to give to Chris Allen is, he gave out a lot of guest sets. He was like, you mind if I give this guy a guest set? I was like, I don't give a shit.
Oh, because he's from up there.
Yeah. So he's helping out the community, and he got to host the gig. He got the last room I did, he got him a gig. He's helping these people out. There was some girl who'd done like stand up four times. Like, come hang out, just see what it's like, you know? And that's very, he's giving, he's sharing the wealth.
Yes. Good man. Well, you have a kid and a wife, you get that giving business.
Yeah.
He gets it. He gets it and he gives it.
There you go. Get and give. So, speaking of giving and getting, I put my dad's 70th birthday was August 18th.
Oh.
How about this? My brother's birthday is July 18th. I'm September 18th, and my dad is August 18th.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that wild?
That is interesting.
In a row.
One in 31 chance.
Yeah, it's like a straight flush almost.
Oh, yeah.
So,
or a gay flush.
Aha. I'll take it. Flush it. I think it's clogged. So, I go down to New Orleans, the Big Easy, NOLA, for my dad's birthday, which is on a Friday. So I got a kooky little schedule here. So I'm going to go down on Tuesday, and my friend Ron happens to hit me up and says, hey, I hear you're coming to NOLA. And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, you're not going to believe this. Guess who's booking One-Eyed Jacks now? Now, I want to shout out to my friend Ron. I went to high school with him. Catholic high school, De La Salle, and we were chums. And New Orleans, nobody goes anywhere in New Orleans. We got Ellen and Harry Connick Jr. and the Neville Brothers. That's it. For a pretty big city, that's not great alumni-wise.
Yes. You got some jazz, right?
We got a couple jazzies. We got that guy, the John Baptiste. He's on Colbert now.
Oh, yeah.
He's New Orleans. But we don't have much for like a musical, creative, artsy city.
Uh-huh.
So my friend Ron started booking bands out of his car, just like a little guy, whatever. And boom, worked his way up, started doing the road with these bands, just trying to do something. And then all of a sudden, One Eye Jax gets wind of him, and One Eye Jax is like a premier rock club in the heart of the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a CBGB kind of thing,
Ooh.
But it's bigger. And like Dave Attell's road work was at One Eye Jax.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so people go there. People know it. And first place ever got paid to do comedy, which is pretty crazy, opened for Tom Rhodes in 06.
Wow.
Yeah. So Ron's like, I'm booking One Eye Jax. I was like, oh my God, that's a huge gig. And he goes, well, why, since you're coming back, why don't you do it? And I go, I don't know if I can draw. He's like, well, let's try it. So I was like, all right, fuck it. We put it on the books, start trying to sell some tickets. We sell it out.
Sold out.
Couldn't believe it.
Not a seat.
Not one. And this is a gig I did years ago. It's great to come back 10 years later and sell it out. So cool. And Ron being at the helm is very nice because he'd be like, hey, man, you know, we got a week to go. Tickets are, you're about half sold. You want to like tweet it out? And you're kind of like, all right, fine, I'll tweet it out. And then I would tweet it out and he would go back. He would call me back and go, hey, you sold four more. So it's cool to see the tweeting actually working.
Yes, always. Anytime you put work into anything, it's nice to immediately see the dividends.
Yes, literally 5 minutes after I tweeted, hey, four more tickets. I was like, oh shit, cool.
It's booked solid.
I can't get a cut. So, fun times, we sell it out. Then he's like, all right, now that it's sold out, I got a couple extra seats, so I'm going to sell them for double the price, see if we get any walk-ups. So people really, and we got a few of those. So, and I got to tell you, I'm not a big sellout guy, and the staff and management is way nicer when you're selling shit out.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, like, they're like, you need a drink, you need some snacks back there. I was like, I'll take a bottle of scotch. You got it! Throw a bottle of scotch back there. And so now I'm in the giving spirit. I got some Christmas in my asshole.
Spirits.
So I hit up a couple of local guys, said, hey, you want to open? So now I got these two cute kids opening for me, Vince Zambon and Kamari. And they open, hottest crowd ever. Not a fucking empty seat in the house, and they are ready to go. I got all my high school chums there. I see, like, ex-girlfriends and their family and, you know, like, girls I've hooked up with and a chick I went to boarding school and I blew her and all this shit. It's wild out there, and I look out the curtain while the openers are on, and I can see everybody, and I go, I text Ron, turn off the house lights. I don't want to see anybody.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem with these local gigs. You're like, hey, I sold it out. But then you're like, oh, I like strangers. I know every single person out there.
It's tough. I feel that way if I shot a special. I want it to be a secret.
Totally.
I don't want 75, you know, comics in the back.
Right,
you know?
Right. Exactly. It's brutal. And they all, it's hard to perform for them because they're sitting there going, oh, he's really hamming it up here.
Right.
Did that really happen? That's not like him. What? He has a sister? I don't know about that. You know, it's like, come on. Let me just do my act. So I had to do like 5 minutes of like local shit, like, hey, look at this whore. Remember her? She put out, yeah. So, but yeah, it was a great time. Went off without a hitch and got drunk after and really had a great time. Hung out with the family, did some local shows. Dad's 70th birthday was great. My mom really put me to work. I peeled 150 eggs.
What's that mean?
She
You peeling eggs?
My mom's one of these like, when I'm there, I'm working. Like everything, every chore she couldn't pull off, like when there's something up on the top of the cabinet, I'm doing it. You know, I'm zipping the back of her dress up. Like, I am working.
Oh, jeez.
She's one of these.
I don't think I could zip my mom's dress.
Oh, well.
You see that bra for a second? You
it's
have to put
tough.
A hand on her shoulder. It's a lot.
It's a lot. That wrinkly back with a couple of moles on it. You know, it's brutal.
It gets veiny. It's
yeah.
like a treasure map back there.
It's rough, and I want to, like, kiss her neck for a weird reason. You know, it's a bare neck.
Yeah, breathing on your mom's neck is very odd.
It's
just being
tough.
Behind her is weird because it feels very doggy style.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I don't. I got a no zip policy.
Well, what are you going to do? I can't say no zip, Liz.
You can say I'd rather not zip. Assert yourself.
I can't. It's my mom. We're dating now.
What would Alan say?
Alan would say, jeez, you should kill her. I don't know.
I would never zip. I'd say, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I'll have to call. Maybe if my dad died and, you know, she was younger and hotter. But
now you got a zipless mom out there with a fanny hanging out.
Well, she can bobby pin or something.
Well, I don't want Bobby involved. All right, so
Kelly,
I'm zipping up shit. My mom's like, I'm making deviled eggs, and I'm sitting on the couch, scratching my ass, all going, "Ah, good for you, whore, whatever you want to do." And so she buys a bunch of eggs, and I have to go to the grocery store with her. We buy all the eggs. I'm picking stuff up. I'm the guy loading in all the groceries, you know, the heavy Cokes and everything. And then we get back home. She boils the eggs. She goes, "All right, you got to peel these eggs now." It's a giant pot of eggs. We got 50, 60 people coming.
You're like Cool Hand Luke.
Yes, except I'm peeling, not eating.
Why couldn't you say 45? Or 45?
Right.
35.
We got a problem with communication. Failure. What is it?
Failure to communicate.
Thank you. So, peeling eggs, and my family shows up, and I think therapy's really helped me, because I used to see my family and be like, oh, fucking, like, hide in the bathroom and not small talk, and I hate it. Now I'm just like, ah, fuck it, whatever, I'm gay, you're fat, I'm ugly, whatever. And it's a good time, and my niece is there, she's 4, I'm playing with the niece, I'm the fun uncle, I got the niece, I'm spinning her on one finger, I'm doing, like, through the legs and chasing her and throwing her around, it's a good time.
It's a lot of fun. Funkle.
Fun uncle, folks. And also drunkle, I might say so.
A drunkle funkle.
Now, here's the clinker. We do the party, good times, and this is where stand-up kind of fucks you, because some kid texts me and goes, hey, I got a hot show tonight. I know you got your dad's party, but if you can get over here, it's packed, it's a doozy, and I get that twinkle. I go, oh, shit, I want to do this set. You know, it's like that fix. You need it.
Need a fix.
So I go, ah, shit, I want to do the set, but how do I dodge the fam and all this shit? So I go, hey, mom, this guy texts me, show at 9. I got to get there by 9:30. She's like, well, the party ends at 8. And I'm like, all right, well, do you mind if I go do this set? She's like, well, you got a flight at 6 a.m. tomorrow, so you should sleep at your brother's house because he lives closer to the airport, and we're not going to be able to drive you and all this. So I'm like, okay. So I go up to my brother, and I go, hey, do you mind if I sleep at your place tonight? And he goes, sure, but I got the niece here, the kid, she's 4, so you got to be home early, because I go to bed early, she goes to bed early, you wake her up, I'll kill you. And I'm like, all right, so how do you want to do this? He's like, well, you got to be home by at least noon, or what is it, midnight. And I go, all right, great. And so I go do the gig, gig's fantastic, Ron calls me, we go out drinking, and I go, oh shit, it's 1! So I get over to my brother's house, I text him. He's so pissed.
Oh no!
I'm reeking of booze and whiz, and you know, I knock on the door. He's like, "Shh, James." He's got a robe on and a candle. And,
oh wow!
And
I'm like, De Niro with the guns.
Yes, exactly.
So enough of like, the stuff.
Yes, and he's like a grown up. You know, he's got his own home and a baby in there. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And he's like, ah, jeez, you're killing me. All right. I made the bed. I'm like, I'll be out of here by 4 a.m. You don't even know I'm here. He's like, ah, you're killing me. And he points to the ground. He's like, that's where you're sleeping. I'm on the floor. He has no couch.
No couch.
He's this hippy dippy weird guy. He's got a room full of like bicycles and projectors and old furniture and shit, like chairs, but no couch in his home.
Wow, that's very bizarre.
Isn't that wild?
The kid doesn't get a couch?
No kid couch, no TV either.
Really?
He doesn't want a TV.
Kid's going to be a weirdo.
The kid's a weirdo. And then the walls are all drawn on by children. It's very kooky in there. My brother's an odd duck.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sleeping right on the floor. It's just a blanket with a pillow on the floor. It's kind of a bummer. And I go, all right, whatever. I'm sleeping at his place. I got to go by his rules.
This guy really fell in love with Africa.
Yeah, he did.
Boy.
He's African-American. So he goes, all right. You know, it's dark in this room. We're in the dark living room. And he's like, lock the door when you leave. This key locks the door. This key locks the screen door. Then put the keys in the mailbox outside. I'm like, all right. I mean, I'm drunk trying to listen. I'm like playing with myself. And so he goes to bed and I lay down. I can hear the kid snoring. You know, that cute like, hee. I'm like, oh my God, this is brutal.
Love a kid snore.
Yeah. So I'm just laying there and I can't fall asleep. It's pitch black and I'm on the hardwood floor and I turn my phone on just because I'm bored. What do I see? A cockroach 4 feet away from me, eye contact on the floor.
This is what happens when you don't got a couch or a TV and you're drawing on walls. You're going to have roaches.
Yes. It's mayhem. It's Thunderdome in there.
They probably don't have a sink. He's probably anti-raid. You can't have a bat trap or a roach trap.
Hey, a roach trap might have gluten in it.
These fruitcakes.
Yeah, so
he probably doesn't want you to kill it. Hey, the roach is life.
Right. Well, I'm scared to kill it because I'm scared the snapping of the roach will wake the child.
Ah.
So now I'm neck and neck with a roach. We're on the same level. We're eye to eye. We're like equals.
Oh, Jesus. They can live off a human thumbprint, you know.
What?
He could crawl right in your asshole and live for a month like a king.
I believe it. I charge cheap rent. So Now I get up and I just go, what the fuck? And the roach skimmies away. And I'm like, I can't go back down there in the dark and just fall asleep. He can just crawl my face and make love to my nose.
I know. And what about that baby?
Well, she's got a bed.
He could carry the baby away.
That's true.
He can get on a bed. I've seen him on beds.
Yeah, they can get on a bed.
At least he's skimmied.
Right. So I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, now I'll never be able to get to sleep. So I'm just laying there, and like every 8 minutes, I turn my phone on, I flash it out there. Who's there? Who's there? You know, I'm freaking out. And, you know, the roach never came back, or did it? And then you feel like a tinkle on your leg. You're like, what is that? You
know, I know.
You flip the covers off. It's a whole thing.
What happens is sometimes leg hairs, they touch each other.
Yes.
Like crosswires.
Right.
Like, ah, it's
I
not.
Feel it right now. I'm like, is that something?
It's just leg hairs. That's why I might shave my legs and eyebrows off.
I think you should. And get that bush out of here, too. Get a landing strip.
I enjoy my bush.
I don't mind it
I'm
either.
Always itchy down there anyways.
Tickles the chin.
It's no roaches. Roaches right. Can play with the crabs.
So, yeah, so I finally, like, doze off, and then before you know it, beep, 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 4 a.m. I'm like, oh, God, I turned the alarm off real quick.
You know what the beep, beep?
I go snooze. Why? I do, like, a bong, 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 yes. Bong, bong. Do you do that one?
I like the chimes.
Chimes. Okay. I go with the, I think it's called prison bells or something.
But whatever you choose, it becomes horrible.
Yes.
Because it's synonymous. You got to change your alarm every morning.
I always, well, that's a lot.
I think you're doing a leg tap. It's tapping the thing. the whole episode.
That's, I'm not hitting, I got my feet on the floor here.
I know, but I think you're shaking your leg, which is shaking the table.
Oh, okay. Well,
and
what
then
is
earlier, I established the ring thing, so I'm going to get tweets saying, hey, List is tapping his wing, but it's actually you moving your stems.
All right. Well, I don't
you got to sit still over
what
there.
What is dangling that's
something's
clinging?
Something's dangling. I don't know what's dangling, but if you stopped the leg shake,
it wouldn't
matter.
I'm a shaky guy.
It's like saying there's an earthquake and a building falls down. You got to go, we can't have buildings because they might fall. No, stop the earthquakes.
All right.
But that's a natural disaster. This is an unnatural disaster.
This is natural. This is anxiety.
Well, that's on. You gotta fix it.
I'm fixing.
It's ruining the show.
All right. I don't know if they can hear it.
We don't have cans on, so we might not be able to hear it. Shelby, can you hear it?
All right.
All
he
right.
Says
they can't
no,
hear anything.
But I heard it too. All right.
It's a dinkle.
He's good in Game of Thrones. So, whatever. I get out of there and I do the whole key thing, and I'm just so, you know, I've had 16 beers and I got like an hour and a half of bad sleep. I got grease in my asshole. I go to the sink. I just put some water in my face. And you get that look in the mirror where you go, God damn, I look like hell.
Yes.
And your hair.
Every morning I have it.
Yeah. And so I grab my bag and I just go out in the world. I do the whole key thing and it takes forever. And I'm worried every sound of the key is waking the kid. It's a whole thing. And I just get out there and I Uber. Never saw the roach. But I get on the 6 a.m. flight from Louis Armstrong Airport to Atlanta. Land Atlanta at 9. Then I get on a 10 o'clock flight to White Plains, New York. But once I land, what do I see? White Plains delayed!
Duh!
And I could hear your cunty voice in my head going, you're not going to make it. I can see it right now. He's not coming. We got a pool going. He's not going to make it. And that got in my head. So now I'm like, oh, shit, it's delayed. Here we go. I'm not going to make this fucking wedding. Can you believe it? I got up at 4 a.m. It's not going to work out. And
Two flights. Morning of the wedding.
Yeah.
You're like Uncle Jesse.
Am I?
Remember, he went skydiving on the morning of his wedding. He ended up in the tomatoes. They arrested him.
Oh, yeah. Why would he do that?
I think he wanted to sow some oats.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I didn't sow any oats. He's supposed to sow oats. I didn't sow any.
How do you sow an oat? What do you want yarn with an oat?
I don't know. Maybe it's string. I don't know.
Yeah. Seems odd.
It's got to be a wild oat.
Yeah. Wild oats are better for sowing, I guess.
Remember that graduate scene where he says, you should go sow a few wild oats. The guy doesn't realize he's fucking his wife.
Oh, yeah. Good movie.
Oh, it's terrific.
French director. You can really see it. So,
what are you talking about? Michael Nichols directed that.
French influenced.
Ah.
Yes. Truffaut, big fan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
He's a director.
He is.
But I'm saying Nichols was influenced.
I see.
By Truffaut.
You left out the word influence.
I think I said influenced.
He said French director.
Okay.
He's American.
Got it.
American treasure, I might add.
I agree. Maybe. He was a comic, wasn't he?
He sure was.
Yeah.
It was in May.
Yes. You know, he lost his hair when he was like 10. He had some disease. It's all wig.
Interesting.
Since he was 10, wearing a wig.
He must have been wigging out.
Ah.
Mike Nichols and Shirley May. What's May's name?
Kristen Wiig? Oh, what's her name?
Crystal May, Shirley May.
May Allen? No.
Susie May.
I'm thinking of Burns and Allen.
They were the original Rich and Bonnie.
Yeah, a little cleaner.
Ellen May. Elaine May.
Elaine.
Elaine.
Elaine May.
Yes.
There's also Mae West.
Oh, yeah, she's good.
She was Cleavy G.
There was also Feifel Goes West, the sequel to An American Tale.
Yeah, those were big.
They were huge.
That was before the Pixar days.
Mm-hmm.
You took what you can get.
I miss the old school cartoon.
Yeah, well, don't get me started on Thundercats. All right. Back then, animation was animation, you know?
Thundercats!
Yeah. Very homoerotic, that Thundercat. I didn't like it.
Super.
All those He-Man.
Super gay. They had face paint. They were cats.
Yes, yes.
It was very odd.
A lot of that, like, what was that? That one was blue.
I feel like they must have been like, why don't we go with Thunder Dogs? It's
nah,
a little more manly.
Cats works because it's like lions and tigers.
I guess, but they seemed a little, they seemed like house cats to me. They were a little.
There was a few house cats in there. They had all the versions of cats. You know, they had the house cat, the country calico.
They could have gone. Siamese.
Country calico.
They could have gone, you know, coyote, wolf, bear.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
poodle.
Good point. Yeah, poodle would be the comedy relief.
Yeah, poodle could walk in.
Yeah.
Like, he gets kicked, you know.
Yeah, they call him poo-poo. He hates it.
Poopa.
We're writing a show here, folks.
Poopa is a poodle. Those are so ugly. If you have a poodle, stop listening to the show. We don't want you. I hate poodles.
You don't like poodle?
No, I'm anti-poodle.
So this is your march.
Who could like a poodle?
You're out there with a torch going, fuck poodles.
Well, you're just trying to be different. Get real with a poodle.
I don't know. I think it's a pussy thing, which is ironic with the cat. I think poodles are for like these dumb girls who are like, well, I don't want a scary animal. They want a stuffed animal. They want a toy.
But you could get a little pug or, well, I don't know any of the other dogs, but you get something.
You get a little terrier.
A terrier or, you know, what are the other little ones? What about the wiener
Chihuahua,
dogs? The wiener
dachshund.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I don't know, the wiener bow. Why are you so long? Tighten it up.
It's a little odd.
It's odd. You got too much middle space.
It must take the food a long time to get out of the asshole.
Yeah, interesting.
Me too, but that's because I have a bad diet.
Right.
I'm long myself.
Yeah, you're a wiener dog.
But I'm more leg than torso.
Yeah.
They're torso.
You're a lot of leg.
Yeah, my torso's probably very normal, very average.
Sure.
My limbs, they just go. I have two knees on each leg.
That's why it's fun to watch you dance, because it is, it's like stilts.
Old crazy leg.
Yes, daddy long. All right, so I get the fucking, the flight. You know when a flight goes, we're 13 minutes delayed, and you go, all right, well, this is going to be an hour and a half. Let's be honest. Or completely canceled.
Yes.
Because they keep incrementally dicking you right up the anal. It's like they give you an inch and another inch and another inch. Now you're 12 inches in.
Incremental dick.
Yes. So, horrible detective movie. So, finally, it says, all right, we're loading it in. And I go, thank God. I land, and it's only like 40 minutes late. Not bad. I land at White Plains at 12:40. It's supposed to be 12. And I get an Uber, and I hightail it right to the Doubletree Hotel where the wedding is. I don't know if I'm supposed to give that away. But
well, it's past now.
It's
I don't think
now. So I get there. I get in the Uber, and the Uber goes, what are you doing? You going to the Tarrytown? I go, yeah. He's like, all right, it's like 15 minutes away. I go, great. And he goes, why'd you go to White Plains? I go, because I was trying to get close. And he goes, it's a 15-minute ride from White Plains Airport. It's a 35-minute ride from LaGuardia. And I was like, is that right? He's like, yeah. What are you, crazy? And I was like, I spent way more money going to White Plains, and I had to get up way earlier because of the layover. I could have just gone to LaGuardia.
Well, what are you going to do, get a yellow cab from LaGuardia?
You get an Uber.
That would have been expensive.
You think so?
Oh, Uber from Queens. Plus, you're dealing with traffic. What's that guy talking about? You're going to go through the Bronx?
He made me feel real dumb.
That 25 minutes, traffic.
But it's Saturday.
Saturday, it doesn't matter. It's New York City. There's 9 million people up there.
I thought it was 8.
You did the right move.
All right, thank you. That's all I needed.
It's like 8.6 plus the tourists and the
right.
Bush women.
Yeah, but I think some of these guys like to make you feel like, he goes like, what are you, crazy? You could have just gone to LaGuardia, you dumb fuck.
I'm also,
like,
it's not 25 minutes. It's 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
At easiest.
Right.
40 minutes, at no traffic. It took me 40 minutes to get to Tarrytown, to my house. That's not dealing with airport, the terminal.
Mm.
Plus, there's 10,000 more people at LaGuardia.
Uh-huh.
White Plains, you walk out the front door, it's just you.
All right.
What a goof.
Thank you.
That guy's a fucking idiot. Yeah.
One star, I say.
Yes.
So I get there, get to the hotel, And the lady's already waiting there in a skimpy outfit. We make sweet jizz love. I squirt all over her tits, and she does all this fun stuff. She licks my asshole. And take a shower, and I go, I put my suit on. She puts her crazy jumpsuit on with her tits out. We go to the wedding. We're the only guys dressed up.
Fat? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I get there, and it's everybody playing cornhole in basketball shorts.
Well, you came out 5 hours early.
Well, I thought we were. I'm going all in.
The wedding's at 5:30. You came out at noon in a suit.
Yeah. Hey, I'm here, baby. I'm ready to wedding.
And it was hot.
It was hot as balls.
Hot as a monkey's asshole in the summer.
Thank God for the Beantown folk, because they were drinking already. I said, give me a fucking Heineken.
Oh, we opened the bar early.
Yeah.
My parents brought about 700 beers and put them in a cooler, and everybody drank them.
Yeah. Did you tell your folks to take it easy on the sauce, by the way?
No.
Oh, okay. I had a conversation with a few people, because they seemed more sober than normal.
Well, they were drinking. They're also very, they're quiet and, they're shy. But
yeah.
They were drinking all day.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, they can really handle their sauce.
Oh, yeah. We drank. It was a hard-hitting wedding.
It was a great time. And I think we really teased it.
Yeah, let's tease it. I got a quick hell of a nugget here, if I can throw it out there.
Get it in there.
We'll tease that wedding. We'll hear more about this wedding next week, because it was a lot happened. But the night before I left, the eve of my actual courthouse wedding, more teasing.
Now we're on Wednesday.
We're on Tuesday.
Tuesday
evening, our friend Louis C.K. has made a motion picture.
Oh,
and,
what a nugget.
Top secret film project. He shows me the film, and then he shows me a second day. He says, I want to show you the film. I made some changes. Come on over. Watch it again. I say, I'll be there. I ring the doorbell. He answers the door. He says, you're about to meet a couple famous people, so be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you got it.
Bad movie.
I walk in. There's a very famous director. I don't want to give away his name just in case.
Got it.
Very famous. Big director.
You've heard of him.
Huge director.
Yes.
Not the biggest. Whatever you're thinking, knock it back a couple of notches.
All right. It's not Scorsese, but
not Tarantino, not Scorsese, not Spielberg.
Okay.
But a big one. It's not Mike Nichols, he's dead.
No.
But
it's
a big one.
I can vouch. I heard the name.
Big one. And then next to him, Meryl Streep.
Whoa!
Streep!
One of the finest actors of our time.
20 Academy Award nominations.
Wow! 2-0.
30 Golden Globe nominations.
Wow, Golden Gala!
I had a stroke. That's how famous she is.
God damn.
It's me and Streep and a director and Louis.
Wow, what a room.
They're having some cocktails. We're talking Trump. I had a weird moment, though. We're talking Trump, and they're shitting on Trump. We're talking about how bad he stinks. And I go, I think the problem is he's just a piece of garbage. And then Streep was like, ooh, garbage. Oh, boy. Yikes. Jeez,
yeah.
I never heard that. And I felt bad. I think I offended her.
Yeah, well, these Hollywood types, they got scrubbed ears. They don't let anything real in anymore.
I think she's never heard someone get called garbage. Or maybe I misread, but she definitely gave me a little like, ooh, I don't know about that. And you're shit.
She's gone soft.
Most of these people have all met and had dinner with them.
Right.
Because he used to just be like this Manhattan guy with money, so they've all met him, which is kind of bizarre and interesting.
That is interesting.
I guess they've met all the presidents, too. She's like friends with the Obamas and shit.
Wow.
Wild.
Wow, you are really rubbing elbows.
I'm rubbing elbows, and that's 6 degrees separate. You ever hear that theory that, like, you can meet everyone in the world
through
like, six people?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which is pretty wild.
Uh-huh.
Because now with, like, Louis or Meryl Streep, you're like, you go to Meryl Streep, now it's like you got De Niro, you got Tom Hanks, you got Barack Obama.
Right.
So you got everybody that they've ever met.
Yes.
Which is unbelievable. Within three steps, I can get to fucking Saddam Hussein.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's like the good version of STDs. You know, they say, you fuck this person, you've actually fucked all the people they've fucked.
Yes.
You know, but now it's Obama and Meryl Streep instead of Herpes Joe.
What's insane, we can get to Elvis Presley
yes.
in like two people removed.
And I'm hooked on you, so I'm cool.
It's wild. I mean, you got, like, Louis, who knows fucking whoever. De Niro, who knows Johnny Carson, who knows Elvis.
Yeah.
You can go quick.
Pretty good.
You can get to fucking Genghis Khan.
Right.
Wow. I don't know about Khan. That's going to be a tough one.
That's a tough leap.
He's been gone a while.
Mm-hmm. Khan a while.
But, you know, people in this century, for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Meryl Streep, I'm hanging out with Meryl Streep.
Unbelievable. I mean, were you freaking?
I wasn't freaking, but I was definitely like, you always think, I think in story form a lot. I'm like, this is going to be something for the podcast
sure.
to tell people.
That's you're a nugget.
Because she's just a person, so you're hanging out with the person, chatting, hanging out. But then you're also like, this is going to be fun to tell.
Yeah, oh
you're
yeah.
like, it's 5 hours from now, but I can't wait to get out of here to make a phone call.
Wow.
So we're hanging out. We watch the movie. It's a great movie. He asked me not to give away any details, although they think they might be getting out there in the ether now.
Yeah, that'll be out by this time.
Yeah, soon. Well, I think this comes out tomorrow, so I don't know. I'll have to Google it. Maybe give it a Google, Shelb.
Yeah, yeah.
But doesn't matter. But anyway, but he made a movie, and I watched it with Meryl Streep, a famous director, and Louis, and a famous playwright, too.
Oh, wow. Neil Simon?
No.
Okay.
Shakespeare.
Wow, pretty good.
We watch the movie. Then after the movie, we're all talking movie.
Yeah.
It's Meryl Streep and this director guy. And then Louis, at one point, Louis's like, shh, let Joe have the floor.
Whoa.
Which is wild. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I'm sat saying stuff. And Meryl Streep is like, oh, that's interesting. That's a good point.
Wow.
I didn't even think of that. Which is a wild scene.
This is bananas.
I'm talking movies with Meryl Streep.
Jesus.
The most famous actress in history.
And they know you're a comic?
They know. I'm like, oh, they got introduced. This is my friend. He's a comedian.
Are they going, who is this guy? Like, you know, do we give a fuck?
I think they're just like, well, this is Louis' friend.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Pretty good.
So pretty exciting, and Meryl couldn't have been nicer. She was really sweet. But then the end of the night, she's hungry, and she was giving Louis shit for not serving food. She's like, yeah, thanks for dinner, you jerk. It was kind of fun and
yeah.
funny. He's like, oh, I didn't know it was going to be this long, whatever. And then she goes, does anybody have... She's like, do you have $20? She's like, I have no cash. These rich people, they have no cash.
No cash.
Because no one ever gives them cash.
Right.
They just have... you know, accounts or whatever
right,
the hell
right.
however it works. And so Louis's like, I'll give you $20. He looks at his wall. He's running around his living room. He's like, I don't know where my money is. And I go, I got $20. And she goes, are you sure? And I go, yeah, yeah. And she goes, I can't take $20 from you. And I used an old Don Gavin line. I gave her $20. I said, they give these to me at work. It's a
uh-huh.
fun line.
Did
she
catch
laughed.
That?
She laughed.
All right.
She's like, that's
right.
funny. They laughed.
That counts.
And I was like, it'll be an honor.
Yeah.
I gave her $20. I take off. I just want to get out of there. And I gave Meryl Streep $20.
How about that?
Pretty wild. Then I leave. I take the corner. And there's a guy naked on top of a building.
Wait, what?
There's a guy naked. He's this crazy guy. I turn around. I see all these cops and firemen and ambulance lights everywhere. I thought they were shooting a movie.
Because
it's big. They had big spotlights up.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, what the hell's going on here? This is crazy. I literally just gave Meryl Streep $20. I turned the corner. I'm like, that's the craziest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
I look up, and there's just cops everywhere, ambulance, people looking up, pointing at the building. So I walk up. It's like an old movie, like a town. People were all there. I go, what's going on here? And they go, this guy, he's crazy. Been up there for an hour. He took his pants off. He's spraying a garden hose all over. He just went bananas,
what?
This guy.
Wow.
And the cops are trying to, like, reel him in, you know? And this is what's crazy about New York, because I was late, and I was getting married the next morning, and I just hung out with Meryl Streep. I wanted to tell the story. So I was like, huh, that's weird. I took a couple pictures.
Nice.
And a video. Maybe I'll put it on the Facebook page or whatever.
Yes, yes, do.
I go, that's wild. And then I go, well, whatever. I leave. I jump in the cab and went home.
Wow.
And then you're like, because of the Meryl Streep, I forgot to tell the story. I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like any other town, we've talked about this before, any other town or city, you'd be like, the craziest thing happened.
Right.
There's a naked guy in a building. There's 50 cops. He's spraying a hose. He's yelling crazy shit. Meanwhile, I'm like, I hung out with Meryl Streep.
Yeah, who cares? That trumps that guy.
Trump, garbage.
Person.
Anyways, we got to wrap it up here.
Wow.
But, we'll tease. Check out the wedding episode next week. It's going to be something.
You're married. You know Meryl Streep. Who the hell are you?
Yeah, this show will be over in no time.
Oh, boy. Well, we had a good run.
We're going to make the Deer Hunter 3, me and Meryl Streep and De Niro.
Ooh. Coming now.
De Niro. Oh, walking. All right, let's get some plugs in here. We're doing a live podcast right here at Stand Up New York, September 19th, 8 p.m.
Yeah, I got that right.
Go
in the city. But
StandUpNY.com. Whoops.
Speaking of live pods, don't forget this weekend, actually Thursday, 2 days, we're in Tempe, Arizona at the Improv doing a live pod on this Thursday. And then me and Joe, Married List, Streep, are doing sets Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes, come out to that. Make the drive down. Come down.
Yeah.
Fly down. Drive down. Get there.
Please.
However you can. And then check out the Patreon page. Ton of bonus stuff on the Patreon page. And we're going to be doing queefs all weekend.
So many queefs.
Going to be a lot of new. We're doing some side interviews. I had one with Greg Stone. I did one. There's one with Will Silvince and I bullshitting at the Fat Black.
Oh, nice.
It's really fun. Got a lot of good compliments, comments on that one.
Oh, good.
But these are going to be some queefs, just you and I.
Yeah, baby.
Out and about. We got one on there with Chris Allen. His dad makes a guest appearance briefly.
Yeah, the lady. I got my lady on one.
Yep. And then the live Tempe episode will be on there. So get on the Patreon page, folks.
Right,
you don't want to miss
right.
it. It's $3 a month.
Yeah.
Which is not very much.
And you're getting mini pods and live pods. Pods with a real crowd.
Yeah, so it's really fun. And get on the Laughable app. If you have an iPhone, go download Laughable. Make sure to subscribe directly to us as individual comedians. That way you'll stay up to speed, not just on Tuesday, but also with all our guest appearances.
Yes, and get a shirt, goddammit.
Yeah, go buy a shirt.
Merchpump.com/Tuesdays.
Tempe this weekend, and...
What else you got there, Fatty?
Let me find out. I'm in Charlottesville. I want to plug that
one. Oh, Charlottesville. What side are you on?
It's not for a while. It's in November. November 16th.
All
I'll
right.
be in Greg Stone down there. We'll be in Charlottesville. We're going to make Charlottesville great again, baby. So come down to that one. I think it's not officially announced yet because of the tragedy down there. But keep it in mind and keep an eye out, an ear out for that one. And then Huntington, New York. I'm going to do that show out there. I don't know the venue exactly. Email me, tweet me, Huntington, New York, Long Island. That's September 22nd. It's coming up. And then that's going to be fun. City Steam in Hartford,
Ooh,
September 29th and 30th.
Classic.
And then I'm doing another gig in the 28th in Connecticut. Email me about that one. Come to that one, actually. We need that support in that one. And then D.C. Draft House, October 13th and 14th. Rooster Teeth Feathers the weekend after that. Go to ComedianJoeList.com. My dates are up there. And God bless you.
Yes, sir. What's the website?
ComedianJoeList.com.
All right. After Tempe, I love this club, Portland Helium. I love the club. I love the city. Please come out. That's September 1st and the whole weekend there. And after that, got some. I'm going to China, so come on out to that if you know a little Chinese folk. Then I'm in the JFL Toronto in September 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Nice.
That'll be fun. I love Toronto. I love JFL. Then I'm at the Comedy Castle, Royal Oak, Michigan. Never been. I hear great things.
Love it.
He loves it. Then Zany's in Chicago. I hear we're lousy with Tuesdays in Chicago.
What's lousy mean?
Like, there's a lot of them.
Oh, man. I had the most Tuesdays I've ever seen in my life in Chicago. Great club.
Can't wait.
Great
Can't
city.
Wait. Then I got Helium St. Louis, sorry. Either way, I'll be in St. Louis at the end of October. Punchline Sacramento, love that club. Laughs Comedy Club in Kirkland Wash. Comic Strip in Edmonton, please come out. That'll be lonely and cold. San Francisco Punchline, one of the best. Comedy Connection in Providence. Funny Bone Albany with Chris Allen. And Mohegan Sun for New Year's. So check the MarkNormanComedy.com. Check the Facebook page. Yell at Chipotle. Follow us on Twitter. Blow your mom. Praise Allah. And we'll see you in hell.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Aha!